Well, Jerome's Latin Vulgate. It was in Latin. And they had changed a lot of things, and that's what was used among the people. It was the only lawful text. Well, then when they came along, they translated the text of Stephanus from the Latin Vulgate. So it came from Greek and Hebrew into Latin, and then what you have in the King James Version was translated from the Latin back into Greek and back into Hebrew, which was a mess. And so there's a lot of textual problems in there. Anyway, they're going to make this translation, whatever it is. Of course, it's based upon the text of Stephanus, which was a corrupt Greek text, anyway, to begin with, to say the least. What we try to do is go from the original text, and we use the Nestle-Allen text, and Westcott and Hart was some of the first textual scientists. And anyway, I've got that in another class, but I thought I'd just let you have a little bit of it this morning as we get into this. Number one, what does Paul teach in 2 Corinthians 4:16 concerning saved people? Now this chapter, 2 Corinthians 4:16, is such a beautiful, beautiful chapter in the New Testament. Especially when you figure out Paul was writing to a church here that was really corrupt. Now this church, most churches today, especially in Orthodox conservative ranks, would not accept this church as a New Testament church at all, because it was such so many doctrinal issues involved in it. This church was in such bad shape doctrinally that Paul had to write two letters to it. The one letter didn't work. We have very few letters to churches in the New Testament specified. All right, the churches of Galatia. All right, and how about the Ephesian letter? Is that to the church at Ephesus? No, it's not. It was put in much later. If you look in the side columns there, you'll find over to the side columns where it says, to the churches, the holy ones, and then it'll be in brackets in Ephesus, because it was copied from Ephesus and sent out. That's what you call a general epistle to all churches. All right. So we have Galatians, and we have Philippians. We have a few church specified to churches, but most of them are general church letter to all the New Testament churches. All right? To all the New Testament churches in the early area. All right. Who's got 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16? Who's got that? Brother Ken?
Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outer man is perishing, yet the invisible man is being renewed day by day.
All right. That's beautiful. Go back up to verse... actually, it starts in verse 8, and it goes all the way to the end of the chapter. This is talking about a war. Now, we're in a war right now with the Middle East, and there's a lot of problems. How many of you remember when you were not saved? You just went one direction, didn't you? You did exactly what you wanted to do. You did. If you wanted to go gamble, you went and gambled. If you wanted to go drink, and whatever you wanted to do, you did it. There was no problem in you at all, was there? You, whatever you wanted to do, if you wanted to adultery a little bit, chase around here or there, you just went out there and did it. And there wasn't any real problems inside here. You know, I mean, you might get in trouble. But that was just outside, nothing inside. But once you're saved, these things that you did before are not the same things. Then there's a war. There's a conscience. And you have problems when you do things. I'm not the only one like this, huh? You have problems. You go out and sometimes God's people can slip away from Him. I'm going to tell you this. As children of God, one of the first things you can do, and we're going to get to that pretty soon, is to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. You need to go to some New Testament church, and you need to have that church baptize you. And when you're baptized, you are not just baptized and turned loose. You become a member of that church. And that's where you need to be. You need to serve God in church capacity someplace. Because that's the place for you. That's where you're supposed to live, eat, and breathe. Right there. That's what you're supposed to do. That's God's plan for you. Well, a lot of people, when they're saved, they say, well, I'm saved. I'm just going to roam here and roam there. Well, you ought to be saved. When you're saved, you ought to start searching for the truth. And the instructions are in the Word of God. And as you study the Word of God, and you find out. I've studied Greek and Hebrew for a long time. When I was saved, I was saved in a Pentecostal church. I barely heard enough gospel to even be saved. But I went forward and I was saved. And God changed inside of my heart. From that point in time on in my life, I knew right from wrong. And I knew when I was doing it. But I didn't have any instruction. It was basically all emotional when we went there. They talked a little bit about God and things, but it was all emotional. And people like to get up and say, well, I haven't sinned for 20 years. I haven't had a bad thought. And now I realize all those people were standing up saying that were liars. Because we all sin. See, a bad thought is sin. Wrong decision is sin. Everything that we ought to do it according to God's Word and according to His instructions. Well, I got away from the Lord because I didn't have any guidance in my home or anything else. I just went away. And then some bad things happened in my life and was drawing, God was working on me. I could not go out and drink. I could not go out to parties or anything. I was not happy there. I was like a fifth leg or on a quadruped. I just was in the wrong place. Wherever I went, whatever I did, it didn't feel right. And so I started studying the Word of God, and I found out the Word of God was originally written in Greek and Hebrew. So I started studying those languages. I studied a little bit in high school. But I started studying, and boy, I did fine. And then I said, well, now I've got to figure out where these churches are, which one's right. I didn't know what was right, so I started studying church history. And I saw just a million denominations out there. I didn't know where to go. I'd been going to a little old Baptist church, but see, I'd already been to church before, and I didn't trust what just everybody said up there. What came out of that pulpit, I want to check it out in the Word of God and history. And I am what I am today by firm conviction. I am a Baptist, absolutely, with every thread and diet and every place all around. By conviction, that's why. And it came from the Word of God and studying church history, find out what was going on in history. Well, I finally got back in church and I started studying, and then I went to the seminary. And the more I studied, the more confirmed my faith was. You know, when you first are hatched, you know, when you're first born again, when you're hatched, sometimes you think you can do anything. You're real zealous and everything else. And I always say, when a wasp comes out of the nest, he's the biggest when he first hatches. We know more and everything else when we're first born again and we're studying and we're on fire for the Lord, which is good. But time tests you. And troubles and trials test you. And in those troubles and trials, that's where the two natures of God's people, this is the war that we're talking about. And 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, it says in verse 11, for always we the ones living unto death, is what it says. For we live, and we're living, and the little Greek word there is ace, and it means directed to death. We live in flesh. When our children are born, they're born to die.
I hate to say that to you, but when we're born to die because of the sin, the sentence of death that is in us. And we all die daily, don't we? Our body does.
But Paul says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about this sentence of death in you, because that's only temporal. And many times in the classes as I talk, how many of you did something eternal this week? I've asked you that. How many of you did something eternal? Now, when we do something, we go to work, we work, we make a living, we feed ourselves, we build us a house, and we have a car, and that's just living and work. But what are the eternal things? When you witness to somebody. And this is eternal because it's going to follow you right into eternity. It's going to go with you. When you help somebody in need, that's spiritually upset or something, these are eternal things. When you visit somebody, when you witness to somebody, when you lead them to salvation, these are eternal things that you do. I remember Hernando so many years. He's been working out at the college and everything else, and sometimes he had real trouble with different kind of people. They were pain in the neck, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, he would witness to them, and after 5 or 10 or 15 years, they said, come back and say, hey, thank you, brother. I'm saved now, and now I see the light, and I'm sorry. And you didn't even like them. Brother Joe, you've done the same thing out on your in your classes, and I know that each and every one of you, as you go out into the world, you can do something eternal, because every one of those things you did is going to follow you into eternity. Every one of you. And what part of you is doing that?
The inner
man. The outer man is that one that's born unto death, as it says here. Verse 11. Always. And that we're always delivered up. All right. Always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Now, boy, that's something. Delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You know that when this little book here was written, 2 Corinthians, Paul, he was against the law to be a Christian. In many places. And if you spoke out your Christian faith, which they were going to do anyway, I mean, you can't kill Christianity. It is impossible to kill Christianity. The devil has diluted it out in these weird denominations that we have today, but you can't kill it, because if you try to kill God's people, that's something about that blood that hits the ground is like fertilizer. It just makes more of us. Between 50 and 100 million people died for the testimony of Jesus Christ from the time of Christ until today. That's a lot of people. And in every place where you have the strongest, persecution, you have some of the strongest churches. In China today, Christianity is underground. Did you know that? It's underground. They don't want it over there. The government doesn't. You know that there are groups of people that fly in there, like, this is espionage, fly in under the radar, they go in there, and they take Bible teachers in there, and they go into literal old hole caves, dungeons, cellars, and they'll get down there, and different groups of people will come in, and they will want you to teach 24 hours a day over there, because they're hungry for the Word of God. These people are excited about God's Word. What part of them is excited? The flesh is totally domineering over and just crushed. There's no freedom or anything like that. But the inner man is starving for the Word of God. And I talked to teachers over there. They said they'd go over there and they'll teach 8 or 10 hours. And they're just falling over because they're tired. And these guys said, please don't quit. Please don't stop teaching. They're so hungry. I remember years ago when I was teaching, I taught in Bellflower, sometimes 4 and 5 hours a day down there. And I'd come back to Bakersfield and teach another 2 or 3 hours that night or something. My voice worked then. It doesn't anymore. I mean, 2 hours,
There's, I tell you the truth, though, there's a lot of preachers that people won't listen to over 15 or 20, 30 minutes. And I usually keep you guys going for over an hour.
That's pretty much a miracle in these days, because you're hungry for the Word of God. People, I found out in my classes, are hungry for God's Word. The seats get hard, don't they? Especially if you don't feel good. You got a bad back or something, boy, it's torturous on you. But you know, sometimes the Spirit will drive us on. Those people over there in China are so hungry for the Word of God, they don't even want to sleep. I went up to the country that God made yesterday over the weekend. That's not where I grew up part of my life, in Fishland Valley up in Nevada. I took my wife up there and we went out and I met one of the pastors up there. Met him about 9:45 and we talked till 12 or 1 o'clock at night. Just having a ball, talking about God's Word and what God was doing and everything. We had a ball. The flesh was weak. And you know what? I didn't feed my wife till 1 o'clock in the morning for our dinners. And she was getting hungry and she was being very patient. But I look at that country and I look at the stars and the smell of the sagebrush and everything. It's like God made it yesterday. Sometimes you can go in places where you don't see a footprint of man or anything that he's done with it. It's just like God made it yesterday. I like that kind of stuff. And you know, if it was up to me, I would live there. But then I think, I love that so much. That's what I love. I put up with wherever I am at the moment. But God could not use me there like he does here. Now I have to think about that. God could not use me. You have to remember, I don't care what you want in life. When you're born again, you have to be where God wants you to be. Not so much where you want to be, but where God wants you. Where he can use you the best. I went up there and I was a missionary among the Indians as another Indian. I worked in a little church up there and helped build that church up and teaching and building a sound Bible foundation in that church. But I can never do there what I've done here and reach so many people. Teachers. I've tried to disciple people all of my life, so that they can disciple others. And so it won't end with me. Just, I want a lot of multiplication out there, like rabbits. I want God's people, and I'm now, later in my life, I can turn on the radio or television, and I can hear my quotes coming back. Because it's gone all over the place. Thank God for that. My wife's always worried somebody's going to steal my work. I said, I hope they do. I hope they steal it if they use it for God's work. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians. Read that on, brother. Are you still there, Brother Ken? Verse 11.
Okay. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, and the life of Jesus also might be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God.
Now there's what I was just talking about. We're not islands that do not affect other people. We live closely in the world, even when we live out in the sticks. We rub elbows and we ought to change people's lives. What you do ought to change other people's lives. When I pray a lot of times, so I pray in the morning, with my wife, I'll pray and thank God for the night and everything, and then I'll say, help me to be a blessing to somebody today. Help me to do something good today. Help me to reach somebody's life somewhere. God, open the door. And so we do that. And sometimes you don't feel like it. But you know what pushes you on?
the spirit, the inner man, puts you up. The inner man can really affect that flesh. Did you know that? Because you've got dynamite power. Look what it says back there. Who's the knowing that? Which, that thing, that power which raised up the Lord shall also raise up us up by the power of Christ and shall present you in heaven without any spots and without any blemishes. Think about that. The power of God, the dynamite is dynamis, is what it is in Greek. That power is what energizes the inner man. That's what gives you the strength to do what you want to do. What you're going to do is you're going to disable and dismantle the outer man while you're building up the inner man. I remember a long time ago, I don't know who told me this story, I think it was Brother Hubbard. Brother Hubbard's father taught among the Chickasaw Indians, or the Creek Indians in Oklahoma. He was a missionary. He went back there. And he was teaching among them. And he finally gave up and just quit. One day he came home and was sitting there in front of a little old wood stove in their house. And Brother Hubbard came in from school. He was a young boy. He said, "Daddy, what's wrong?" He said, "We've really goofed up." He just said like that. And he said, "What do you mean we've really goofed up?" He said, "Well, the white man has destroyed these Indians. We came in here and took all kinds of bad influences, drinking and things to them. And these people were spiritual people to begin with. And all they needed to know was about Jesus. And they needed to see honesty." And he said, "He had totally destroyed a whole culture." And he said, "I don't know what to do about it." And he said one time his dad was talking to the Indians. He was talking about this lesson right here that we're talking about. It wasn't written in this form out here, but they were talking about the two natures of the saved person. And this old guy, he was an Indian, he was sitting out there in the back, and he was talking about the two natures of the saved, because they were having problems now that all this stuff was influenced among the drinking and the gambling and all this. This was real hard on them. And he says, "Now, you people are going to be influenced. Now, you're saved today, and you go and you sing beautiful songs to the Lord and everything, and then you go out and live like the devil. And that is not what God's people are supposed to do." And he kept on talking about this, and he read from some of these scriptures that I'm reading from today. And then he asked the class, he says, "Do you know what I just taught you?" And this old guy in the back says, "Yeah." Well, he said, "Could you explain, what in your words, what happened here?" Well, he said, "There's two dogs in the man, a white dog and a black dog." And he says, "The one that you feed the most is going to be the strongest." Have any of you ever, as children of God, strayed out into the world? Which dog were you feeding? Which one became the strongest? The white dog or the black dog? And he says, if a man does good things and after he is saved and everything, he feeds this dog and he becomes very strong in the Lord, that dog becomes very strong. And the other dog dwindles down and he's very weak and skinny. And he said, if a child of God, he said, doesn't do right, then he's feeding that white dog. And the Spirit of God, he is suppressing the Spirit of God that is in his heart. And he said he's destroying his eternal part in him. He's fighting it. You know, there's Bible examples of that, isn't there? How many of you ever read of Abraham? Abraham had a nephew that was Satan's nephew. Did you know that? What was his name?
Lot.
From the Bible now, in the Old Testament, I want you to know, I want you to remember, just stir up your memory now, as Paul said here last week, or Peter was saying last week when we were studying the second book of Peter. I want to stir your memory up. Can you find out any place there in the Old Testament where that man did anything spiritual? You would not know that unless you read the book of Hebrews in the New Testament that said righteous Lot vexed his spiritual soul by living in that kind of trash.
that he lived in.
Lot vexed his righteous soul, his born-again spirit. What a big blunder he made. And history has read that forever, ever since that time, for thousands of years now. What if you were like Lot? What would the story be 2,000 years from now about your life? What would the story be like?
Which dog was in control? Which one did you feed? We're supposed to disable and dismantle the outward man with all the lusts and the wants and desires of that man and build that inner man.
Talk about Brother Hubbard a lot. Brother Hubbard was an unusual man. He absolutely was hardly any earthly good at all. He was just...
He didn't think about anything else except spiritual things. He did a little... He liked fish, and he would go out and eat fish occasionally. Hi, I'm glad to have you.
Here's your lesson. We're on the true nature of the thing.
Brother Hubbard and I were very close. We were like real close brothers. He stayed in my house a lot. We did a lot of things together. And he was, when it comes to this world, that man was extremely ignorant. I just have to tell you that. And he was funny. He was driving from Lancaster down to Bellflower and had been peeking down there for 20-something years. He had this little old white Dawson car. And he carried this rag up on the dash, and he, after we got to know each other, we got his teeth taking Greek and Hebrew from him. He got it, he said, Brother Jim, he says, I've got a problem with my car. He said, I used to drive Model A's a long time ago, and he said, I could make them work. He said, I understood those, but all these modern cars, he said, and this is back in the 70s now. 69, somewhere around. Anyway, he said, they left the heater out of my car when they built it. And he said, I have to carry this drag. And he said, I want to know what I'd have to do to fix the heater or put a heater in my car. And I went and looked at this little Dawson 510, I think is what it was. I looked in there and I said, Brother Hubbard, you got air conditioning and a heater in the car. And I went over there and I moved the levers over and I started the engine up and the heater came on and it was blowing up there, probably going to defrost and everything like we do. He says, I can't believe it. He said, I've been driving that car for 4 years. And he said, I kept turning that fan on over there where like that, it says heater, and nothing happened. It just blowed out cold air. He turned on the air conditioner. It was on air conditioner. And now he was trying to clean the windshield off. Oh, he said, you're smart. He said, you're such a smart man. He said, not only do you know Greek and Hebrew, but he said, you know how to fix things. So from that very time on, I changed his oil and made sure his car worked and all that kind of stuff from then on. And made sure that his car worked. And when he got a new car, I showed him how to turn the heater on. Never one of them. But that man, he was just honed in on God's things. He was obsessed with the Word of God and obsessed with teaching. You know, he taught in seminary, I believe it was, for 65 years. In the last part of his life, he had Alzheimer's. He knew where he's going half the time. He called me on the phone. I lived up in Nevada. He said, Brother James, he said, I'm lost. I don't know where I am. He said, you were going to meet me down here in Mojave or in Tehachapi or out there in Edison. And he said, you didn't show up. I said, Brother Hubbard, I didn't talk to you. But if you want to meet me there, I will. I'll meet you. Well, he said, I'm all messed up. I don't know where I am. And he said, I don't know if I'm supposed to be in school or not. And he talked to me like this, and I felt so sorry for him. And I tried to meet him in places, and I couldn't meet him anywhere. He didn't know how to get there. Finally, his daughter came out from Oklahoma and took him home. He was wrecking his car. He was going and teaching in Fresno at a seminary out there teaching Greek and Hebrew. And he'd go up there and he didn't even know where his classroom was. They'd have to lead him by the hand and put him in the classroom. But once he opened up the Word of God, Greek or Hebrew, he was flowing.
even as bad as he was, because he knew that, and he teaches those classes. He said he was wonderful classes. That's what he knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? The world never did him any good at all. But he did eternal things all of his life. We ought to do more eternal things. Maybe we know how to turn our car heater on. Maybe we know how to turn the air conditioner on our house and the heater in our house. But is that eternal? He did more eternal things than anybody ever knew. He thought about it. The last time I called him and talked to him. Johnny, Oklahoma. I said, Brother Hubbard, how you doing? What you been doing? He said, well, John Wayne and I just moved 5,000 head of cattle out of Texas into Oklahoma. He said, I'm wore out. And then I start talking to him about Greek and Hebrew. And he had it right there. I mean, it wasn't John Wayne moving cattle. He understood that. I said, well, what do you think about this tense and this verse and this place in the Bible? Well, he says, young man, he said, that's a good idea. And then he'd always tell me, he said, you've gone beyond me, brother. He says, you got to figure out some of this stuff on your own, because he said, I don't understand what you're talking about sometimes. He said, I didn't look at that ever like that before. But he said, that's, I think you're right. Well, I had fellowship with him until he died. But he wasn't, the only place that he was at himself was in the spiritual realm. You're getting back in the spiritual realm out from John Wayne and the cattle drives, he's all right. Well, that's what it's talking about here. Go on just a little bit further, brother, where you were.
Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day.
So here's what we're talking about. We're dismantling the outer man, and we are building up that inner man. Start feeding that spirit that's in you. It is so easy to do what you want to do, isn't it? Bless you. Well, I got to feed myself. I got to get my rest. There are some times that God is going to call on you not to eat and not to sleep. Did you know that? Because you may have to do something. Dr. Susan went down to Guatemala here a while back. She went down there and she was serving in her medical field. You didn't get much sleep, did you? You did a lot of work, very tiring, a lot of work. But she was doing it in the name of the Lord. She was reaching people's lives for the Lord and helping them. That's going to go through eternity. Those are the spiritual things. When you stay up late at night and you're studying and you get ready for a lesson the next day, those spiritual things. You're not only feeding God's people, you're feeding yourself. You know that? Don't be like Lot. You'd have never known Lot was ever saved if the Bible hadn't stated that fact. All right. Let's go on a little bit further now. And number two, what is the characteristic and makeup of each of these men in John 3 and 6? John 3. John, the third chapter. All of us ought to be able to find that. John 3 and verse 6. That's a real plain statement. Now, who was talking here? Jesus. Who's he talking to? Nicodemus, which was a teacher in Israel. All right? This man was a master teacher in Israel. He was the one that taught the proselytes that came from other religions into the Jewish faith. He was supposed to know all the things of God, and he was supposed to know what being born again was, because that's the term they used for the proselytes that became Jews by faith. They were being born again. And they were baptized, and they had to get up and renounce their former genetic background. And they have become a spiritual Jew now. And let's see what Jesus says to this man. And verse 6, who's got that? Brother Greg.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
That which is born of flesh is flesh. In the original language, it says, the thing having been born out of the flesh, flesh it continues to be. That's what it says. The thing having been born out of flesh, flesh it continues to be. That word sarx. You know,
sarx. That's flesh.
You will never get out of this world alive unless you're raptured. Because the flesh has got to die. This flesh is being dismantled. It says, now that which is born out of flesh continues to be flesh. God in salvation made no provision for the flesh. Did you know that? In the Christian Science world, in the metaphysical world, they keep talking about the spiritual things and denying the flesh and denying the idea of disease or anything else. You deny all of it you want to, but you're going to choke one of these days. That's just the way it is. If we die. If the Lord doesn't come back and raptures us and change us and translates us and takes us into heaven, here at the end of this church age, if we don't see that point, we all have to die. Because that's what it says right here, and that's what Jesus was teaching Nicodemus. He's teaching him something very spiritual here, and he says, you are a spiritual dummy, Nicodemus. You need to be born again. He was a religious leader, but he didn't know the Lord. All he knew was words and ceremonies, like many religions today. All right. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And then it says, and the thing having been born, out of the Spirit, Spirit continues to be. All right? Now, by the way, the word Spirit in Greek is a neuter word. All right? It's a neuter word. Spirit is a neuter word. Now, when it talks about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, the word is neuter. But when it's related to him as a third person pronoun, it's masculine. Because he is God. Okay? Holy Spirit is God. But the word Spirit, and that's why it keeps talking about the flesh is things and the Spirit is thing in you. That thing having been born out of flesh continues to be flesh. That flesh is a thing, isn't it? Alright? And then that Spirit that is born in you, born again in you, that Spirit comes from God. And by the way, that Spirit is Him in you. Now we use the word masculine, Him. That is God in you. And every one of you that is born again has God in you, dwelling in you. And you have a brand new, born again Spirit that was never there before. And that's power. That Spirit that is in you is the one that created the heavens and the earth and holds all things together. We went up in the battle the other night. My wife said, I'm bored. All I can see is black. I said, look up. Look up! Look up! Isn't that what I said? Yeah, I know. That's right. I said, you've got to learn to look. I told her where everything was out there in the dark because I had memorized this over the last 50 years. I told her where every little rock was and everything else. So you look over here, I can't see it. And I said, look up. And we got out of the motorhome. I said, now look up. And she said, oh, I can't believe it. There was a Milky Way from one end of the sky to the other. And all the stars were shining. I said, God just made it yesterday. It's just like His hand finished with it yesterday. All this beauty. And the skies were so blue, like painted blue. And she looked up there and we saw the stars and we saw the Little Dipper and Big Dipper and we saw the North Star and we looked at the galaxies, that wheel of our universe that goes from one end to the other. And you know that we're part of it. And there's lots of universes out there, galaxies beyond that. And just think about it for a while. The one that lives in you made all of that. And He made the space to put it in. That space wasn't there either. He made the space to put all of that in. You know, that Milky Way is like a great big wheel. And somewhere, we're over here, one of those folks going out in that wheel. And when we look up, we see that Milky Way, and that's that universe that we live in up there. And we're part of it. That galaxy. And that one that holds all of that together and makes those lights shine is the one that lives in you. That's something else. Verse 6. Out of spirit, spirit continues to be. And he said, and then in the next verse, he said, don't marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. Don't let that bother you. Don't be struck out of your senses. Don't be dumbfounded that I say unto you, you must be born again, because he was supposed to be teaching this all the time. He was supposed to be teaching spiritual things, but all he was doing was teaching rigmaroles that people go through, little ceremonies that people go through. Do this and say this. This time, people would stand up and they'd say, I believe in God, and so on and so forth. That's not enough. It has to come from here inside. It's got to come from inside. Number 3. Who is the father of the outward fleshly man? All of you have a father and a mother, don't you? I know you do because you're here. All of us have fathers and mothers. You have to have a father and mother to be here. So who is the father of the outward man? Adam, basically. And it says in the Bible, says, as in Adam, all die. And what is his nature? Romans 5 and verse 12. And who's got Romans 5 and verse 12?
I don't do that.
You got Brother Hill. Go ahead.
Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin.
That's right. Out in the world, religions and denominations of the world, we have two tremendous poles, one for one end and one to the other. We have what you call Arminianism, and we have hyper-Calvinism on the other end. And the Arminian theology, and you can bring that all the way from the middle over there to that part of it, they believe that, and you can see this in every denomination of religion, they believe that when you're born into this world, and almost all of them are pedo-Baptists. Do you know what pedo-Baptists mean? Pedo, that's the word pacer, pedia in Greek, and that means children or baby baptizers, okay? Baptists were never baptized for children. And they baptize their children, and they usually have how many ever heard of God Mother and God Father? Okay? What? Whatever denomination this is. And when they get up to be about 12 years old, then they have to have confirmation. And they have to confirm what their godmother and godfather said back then, because they said, do you believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all this kind of stuff? And they said, yes. And then I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they pour the water on you. It doesn't baptism either. Baptism means mergio. It's the Latin word for baptizo, and it means to immerse. By the way, almost everybody, almost all religions immerse until about 1500, 1600. In that period of time, all of them baptized one way. And baptized means to immerse. Well, then from that point of time on, then you're responsible for all the sins that you committed since then. And you have to have forgiveness for it, and so on and so forth. The first place, we believe in the believer's baptism. That's where you baptize people that have these two natures, that have been born again. Somebody that is knowledgeable of sin in his life. Now, how old are people when they come to the age of accountability and to know that they are sinners? How old are they? Who knows? We're individuals. It may be 6 years old, or it may be 50 years old, or 70 years old. Who knows? Most people are saved between 7 or 8 and 20. They come to the knowledge one of these days that they're undone before God and they're sinners. And then they call upon the name of the Lord to save them, and they're saved. Well, the Bible teaches that when we come to the age of accountability, that Spirit of God will reach our hearts, and every man is convicted of sin. That's what the Bible says. Everyone is convicted of sin. Even nature itself, in Romans, the first chapter, says it will convince or convict people of sin because we see the Creator in all of this. There's a Creator there that makes all of you go out there and look at the stars tonight up there in Fish Lake Valley where I lived and grew up. And you got to know one thing, that there's a Creator that put that up there. If you don't, then you've got real problems because you're really dumb or something. I mean, this didn't happen. I mean, they may teach you that in school, but it just didn't happen. Romans 5 and 12. Okay, number 4. Who is the father of the inward spiritual man? 1 Peter 1 and 2 and John 3, 5, 6, and 8. 1 Peter 1 and 2. 1 Peter 1 and 2. Who's got that one? First Peter 1. You got that, Brother Ken?
You want me to start with 1?
Yeah.
Okay. To the pilgrims of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
I preached about a week ago, man. All right. Those that are saved. He's writing this letter to the saved people. This is a church letter. This is a general epistle. He's writing out here to churches. And that we are children of God. We are born sons of God. When you're born into this world, you're a son, a mom and dad. Aren't you? But you know who your mom and dad are. They're sitting right back there on the back row. It's a good example here. Right? But there came a time in your life that you were no longer their son. When you call upon God, then you become a son of God. And not only a son, but when you follow the Lord in your life, you become an heir of God. A wheel. That's what the word. That means a born son. That's a firstborn son of God. That's the heir. That's a beautiful word. And then it uses the word wheelthesia. It says we're placed as sons. And God has a glorious place to put you. We talked about that in the last class too. In the one before this. But God has an eternal purpose for you. I'm going to try to do some more of these charts. I haven't done it yet. But I'm going to make some more of these charts so you can have some. And see God's plan for man all through the ages. And we live here in the church age and close to the end of it as far as I can tell. God has plans for you. He's got things for you to do. You're going to have a war inside with the inner man and the outer man. Now that's just an absolute fact. Let's go on a little bit further. Who is the father of the spiritual man? Jesus, God. Okay. And then John 3 and 5, 6 and 8. Now we've already been over there in John. And then, what is his nature? And there's a real important Eastern philosophy that goes with this. Now, when a child was born, their idea was that the first thing that that child did was speak his father's name. Not mama, but that was Abba, 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 Abba. That's the word for father in Hebrew, okay? And even going back to Persian and all that. The first thing he was doing, going, ah, blah, 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 you've seen people do like that. Well, that was calling for his daddy. Now, sometimes a child doesn't exactly look like his daddy. Maybe it looks like mama. But those Oriental mindset, they better see some of daddy in that child. If he's going to be there, he better talk like him, walk like him, or act like him in some way. Have you ever seen a father walk like the son? May not look like him at all, but he'll walk and act like him. And I used to stand a lot like this. Now, my father was 2 years old when I got killed, but I do the things that he did. Well, I'm one of them. I don't repeat that. He got killed from lead poisoning, .45 caliber, for robbing a store. He was stopped in the middle of a robbery. He was killed by the store owner. So I don't want to do the things that he did in his life. But some of the mannerisms that I don't even remember hardly. I remember my father, but I don't remember all these mannerisms. My mother says, he does those things. This is genetic link that is passed on to you. When you're born again, you need to act like daddy. You need to act like the one you're born from. It should become part of your nature. What is the nature of the outer man? Romans 7, 17 and 18. Romans 7, 17 and 18. And then 1 John 1, 8 and 10. Who's got that? Anyone have that? Who's got any of either one of these? We can go forward, backwards, or whatever. Romans 7, 17 and 18. Or 1 John 1, 8 to 10.
Romans 17.
Okay, brother.
Yeah. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells in me.
What's he talking about there? What's Paul talking about there? He's talking about the outward man. He says, when I sin and I go the wrong direction, who's doing it? The SARS. The flesh. That Adamic nature is doing that. Now we know who, we can identify that. How many of children of God went the wrong way this week? Huh? Who did it? What part of you was doing that? Huh? Not that which is born of God. Alright. How many of you this week did something spiritual? You don't have to raise your hands either. Who was doing that? The Spirit of God leading you that is living in you. Okay, 1 John now. Did you get 17 and 18 both, Joe?
I think it's number 18.
Okay, I'll read number 18 for us, brother.
For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of good is not.
That's right. Paul was a good man, wasn't he? Do you think the Apostle Paul was a pretty good... I had a preacher one time. A preacher said, I patterned my life after Paul. You know, like that. And all I could see in that man was Peter. You know, his life, you know. But he had an idea that he was patterning his life after Paul because Paul was a great spiritual example. But you know, Paul even had problems at times, didn't he? He didn't get along with people very well. Did you know that? Paul had problems getting along with people. He got mad at people, and he had a problem in forgiving them. He got mad at Demas. He got mad at John and Mark. Peter. He was fighting with them. Arguing with them. He had problems. He wasn't perfect, but... He said, that which I don't want to do. Now, when he got mad at John, Mark, and all of these people, and Peter and everything, and when he had trouble forgiving them, and Barnabas, and all his problems that he had, what part of him was doing that? What did Paul just say? The flesh in me. He said, when I want to do something, my body just takes over. The devil made me do it. You know, like old Flip Wilson used to say. Well, it's the flesh that made you do it. It's your Adamic nature that makes you do it. And that's why you die. Because you're still there. It's still in you. All right? It never goes away. All right. 1 John 1, 8 through 10. Brother Libby.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. And He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the word is not in us.
Well, now, John, this is John the Apostle wrote this. John the Apostle wrote several books of the Bible. Who can name them? the Apostle John.
John.
He wrote the Gospel of John. First, second, and third John. And the book of Revelation. Alright, he wrote all these books. Now, in his time, he had problems with denominations popping up. And that's the reason why he's writing this letter right here. Because some of them says that we don't see. There were people back then that there were a certain Greek philosophy, and they tried to live outside of sin, and they just denounced sin, and it's kind of like the Christian Science today and metaphysical world. I mean, if you deny all this stuff, you're going to be fine. They think that they can overcome disease, and they think that they'll live until the Lord comes back. I'm going to tell you something, that the flesh is flesh. The flesh has a sentence of death in it. And disease is the sentence of death. That's one of the things. Sentence of death. All right. Did we get 8 and 10?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, brother. All right. What is the nature of the inward man? The nature of the inward man. And that's where we're going to quit this. No. All right. What is the nature of the inward man? Romans 7 and 22, and then 1 John 3, 9 and 5, 18. Who's got over there in 1 John? Anybody still over there? Dr. John, you in that area?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead, read that.
3, 9?
Yes.
Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. Is this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. I went too far, didn't I?
That's fine. And then 5:18, do you have 5:18 there? Sure. Also?
We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him.
All right, now John was dealing with some people back there. Some of them live lascivious lives. Some of these people, I mean, they went from the two different poles, extremes. Some of them wanted to live like the devil and say they were children of God. And some of them wanted to deny all sin and everything. So he's getting both of them at one time. He's got a big sawed-off double-barrel shotgun and just mowing them down with these things. He said, I want to tell you something. That which is born of God does not sin at all. The spirit in you cannot sin because that is God in you. What is sinning in you is the flesh, the outward man. And that's what does it. All right? We're going to quit right there and come back to it next week. And I'll probably be here with you at least one more Sunday before they chop me up in little pieces. And then I don't want them to be back. Brother Greg. Yes, Mark.
Yes.
If you join another church, are you supposed to be baptized in that church?
Sometimes.
Depends where you're coming from.
Yeah, it depends on where you're coming from, whether you have real baptism or not. Because a lot of churches that baptize just don't have any authority to do it at all. They baptize for the wrong reason.
You've not been baptized once, though.
I've been baptized twice.
Why?
For one thing, the church that I joined up in Nevada, and that little Southern Baptist church, they didn't accept anybody's baptism if they couldn't talk to the church that you came from and ask you what that church believed and what the grounds was. They would not baptize. They wouldn't accept any baptism. So I was baptized again up there. All right. And even though I had scriptural baptism to begin in the first place, I honored their wishes because I kept that baptism in that church pure because they wanted to know what history that we had. All right. They wanted to be able to talk to church and talk to them.